I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. It's page 1131 in your pew Bibles if you're using the black Bible there. Starting at verse 14, we're actually going to go through verse 25. For we know that the Lord, the law, is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. Shall we pray together? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we need you today and every day. We need your Spirit to help us to be free and understand who you are, who we are, what you have done, and how it is that we struggle. Lord, we pray that the truth of your word would be enlightened by your Holy Spirit so that the lies of the devil and the deceit of sin and the blindness that it causes would fall from our eyes so that we might behold your glory today. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. I'm making an assumption today that everybody who is here has come to faith in Christ, that at some point in time, the Holy Spirit has convicted you of your personal need for forgiveness of your sin, and that you have come by faith to the cross of Christ and said, "Dear God, thank you for the salvation that you have worked in your Son, Jesus Christ. I trust you and you alone for the forgiveness of my sins." And that at some place, maybe you didn't say a prayer like that, but at some point you crossed over the line to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That faith is real, and that you are a believer. I'm assuming that because the context of our scripture for today addresses the Christian experience. He has talked, God has given us through the pen of Paul at length the understanding that we were once in bondage to sin and that God has set us free. That sin has actually used the law of God as an opportunity to bring about death, and that you and I no longer are slaves to sin, but we are alive unto God to serve in newness of the Spirit. When we begin to grow in faith, did you ever notice that your struggles increase, not decrease? Did you ever notice that you become more aware of your need for forgiveness than you were before you became a believer? That stepping into the light of the gospel of God's glory, the gospel which is the power of God to save to the Jew first, that when you step into that, more of the man behind the curtain is revealed and you become more aware of the sin in your life. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you recognize your need for a Savior. But Pastor, wait a minute. Wasn't that paid for on the cross? Why do I still struggle with these things? Beloved, I have two friends back east. Both of them older adult males. Both of them recovering alcoholics. And they would both admit that. When one of them became a believer, they were delivered from the bondage of alcohol. God just took it away. Another who came to faith in Christ struggles daily. Why is it that way? I don't know. I know that it is true, but how can these things be? Well, I believe the truth of Scripture clearly calls us to an understanding that God alone sets us free and rescues us from the effects of sin, from sin itself. And whether he chooses to rescue us and set us free in a deliverance kind of way or in a daily kind of way, it's still God and God alone that does that. And the first thing that we need to do is to be honest. Honesty is the best policy. Sin is deceitful. You and I are blind because of it. We are blind to actually see our own sin. We have pretty good eyes to see the sin in other people. But when it comes to seeing it in ourselves, sin deceives us. We make excuses. We run around. And so we need to be honest. Paul is brutally, brutally honest with us. And praise God he is. You cannot escape your flesh, beloved. As long as you walk the face of this earth as a believer, you carry around your flesh with you. You cannot escape it. The law is spiritual, but I am flesh. And because of that, I am sold into bondage to sin. Canceled? Forgiven? But still bound to it in the flesh. For what I am doing, I don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I thought I was done with this. When I came to faith in Christ, sin was done away with. Oh, no, no, be honest. You cannot escape your flesh. Your flesh, my flesh, Paul's flesh, every Christian's flesh is contaminated. To the core, contaminated. That which I am doing, I do not understand. For some reason, Paul has been exposed to the nature of his flesh and of sin to such a degree that the blindness is gone, that he can see it clearly, and he knows that he doesn't know. For I am practicing what I for I am not practicing that which I would like. There's something deeply wrong with me because the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. And I can see it. My heart wants to do good, but my body won't let me. It betrays me. Something is off. The flesh is contaminated. I want to be a loving husband. I want to be a good father. I get home after a long day of work and I say rude and hateful things and hurt people. Why would I do that? I don't want to do that. In my heart of hearts, in the innermost parts of my being, I want to be a loving husband. I want to be better. I don't want to be full of pride. I want to have humility. I don't want to have lustful thoughts. I want to have pure thoughts. I don't want to be greedy. I want to be generous. I don't want to be lazy and slothful. I want to be industrious and productive. I don't want to be gluttonous. I want to have everything in moderation. And if even more than that, I'd wish for a little less. I don't want to be a glutton. I don't want to covet and envy what other people have. I want to be content and satisfied with what God has given me. I don't want to be angry. I want to be at peace. There is something deeply wrong and contaminated in my flesh. Because the things that I want to do, I'm not doing. As a matter of fact, the very things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I'm doing. I don't understand. But I confess that the law itself is good. The law that talks about pride being a sin and lust being a sin and greed being a sin and laziness and gluttony and envy and anger, all sins, I agree, the law is good. So why am I doing those things? There must be someone else operating inside of me. There must be. Because what I want to do, I'm not doing. The real me doesn't get his way. The rescued me, the redeemed me, the reconciled me, the restored me, the Christian me doesn't come out. Somebody else. Sin. Sin lives inside me. So now no longer am I the one doing those things, but sin which dwells in me. That does not absolve me from personal responsibility, and it's not an excuse. It's a deep and abiding, truthful honesty with operations. And you and I need to be honest with ourselves. Our flesh is contaminated. We don't do the things we want to do. Someone else is at work. God's grace comes, beloved, and every little thread of sin God must free us from, because you and I cannot escape our flesh. God alone rescues us from that. God alone sets us free. Do you remember in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader? Maybe you haven't seen that movie, but there's a very good scene in it where the little selfish boy Eustace greedily grabs onto the dragon's treasure, and in so doing becomes a dragon himself. And the only way that he is freed from being a dragon is when he comes to the Christ figure, Aslan, and asks for help. And Aslan begins scratching and pawing at the ground with his claws and cutting into the sand with his paw. And as he does so, you see the pained expression in Eustace's face, in the dragon's face, as the scales get ripped away from his body. The scene in the book is much better than in the movie, by the way, when Aslan is scratching, violently ripping the scales of Eustace off of him. That's the violence of grace, beloved. God's grace is a violent thing. And it comes and it rips the sin away from us. But you and I are blind. We need him to do it. We don't see. Pray, pray that you would have eyes to see. Paul here is a mature believer. He is well aware of his sin. When you first come into the kingdom of God, everything's roses. It's lollipops and gummy bears. The freedom from your sin lifts a burden off your shoulders. And the more you walk with God, the closer you get to his presence, the more he shines the light on your pride. The more he shines the light on your covetousness. And it pains you. There is a very real danger, beloved, in any preacher, teacher, doctrine, theology, belief, devotional, whatever, that ever gives you the idea that when you become a Christian, you've arrived. It gets worse. Because he is conforming us into the image of his beloved Son. The more you realize you need him. Arriving isn't maturity. Desperation for all of God is maturity. If there has not been someone in the last 24 hours that you in your life need to apologize to, I suggest that there's a little bit more maturing going on that needs to happen. Because I guarantee there's somebody in your life that you've hurt or been rude to or offended. And that person might just be God. But I guarantee it's happened. God and God alone. Be honest, beloved. You haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. And then secondly, fight hard. Seniors, engage. Grab the sword with both hands and fight hard. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. Boy, that'd be a pretty wonderful thing to put on a blanket. I haven't seen too many plaques and you go into a house about that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't see many bumper stickers that say, I know that nothing good dwells in me. Nothing good. Nothing good dwells in you either. That is in my flesh. That's the truth. Go ahead, take a shower, put on your deodorant, dress yourself up with all kinds of good Christian stuff, listen to Christian music, read your Bible, put your bumper stick. Nothing dwells in you that's good. Nothing. That is in my flesh. That part that is still awaiting the redemption from the presence of sin in this world, nothing good dwells there. The enemy that you and I face is not someplace outside. He's not at our doorsteps. He's inside. You take him with you wherever you go. The Bible says it's sin, and it is present in me. For the willing is present, but the doing of good is not. Now, I know that we have more enemies than our flesh. There's the world, the flesh, and the devil. But every battle that you and I face has a portion of sin that dwells within us in it. Fight hard. Nothing good dwells in your flesh. Battle it every day. But never, ever, ever surrender the inner man. That's the good news. Never let the flesh have the upper hand. Don't surrender the inner man. In the inner man, I joyfully concur with the law. That which is truly me, deep inside, I concur with the law and with God. I have a new heart that has been redeemed by Almighty God. He has taken out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh to respond. But understand that there's a war going on, beloved, and it wages every day. There are some days that are minor skirmishes, and then there are some days that are all-out assaults. I mean, the armaments, the battling, the howitzers, it's just a barrage of warfare daily. I find then, verse 21, the principle that evil is present in me. Evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. It's captured me. So what do? As prisoners of the law of sin in our bodies, what do? We cry out, "Wretched man that I am. Nothing good dwells in me. Wretched, naked, poor, hungry, needy man that I am. Who will set me free from the body of this death?" Asked and answered, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." God is the one who sets free. God is the one who rescues. Beloved, the world and its system, the flesh and its system, the devil and his system will lie to you constantly about being set free. One of the big ones is self-esteem. To think more highly of yourself than you ought. Nothing good dwells in you. You're a wretched man. So am I. Well, we can't tell people that. That'll give them poor self-esteem. Good. We need a lot less self-esteem in this world today and a lot more God esteem. So I said, be honest. Who are you kidding? Who do you think you're really fooling? Humanity is not basically good. We cannot solve our own problems. We desperately need Jesus Christ. We desperately need God. Governments can't do it. Political systems can't do it. Tax systems can't do it. Socialism, capitalism, fascism, libertarianism can't do it. God is the only one that can set us free and rescue us from sin. Bottom line, who do you feed more? Do you feed the inner man more? Or do you feed the sin that dwells in you more? Next time you're listening to that song, next time you're watching that movie, next time you're seeing that favorite show, next time, whatever it is, ask yourself the question, who is this feeding? Think of the inner man, I'm stealing this, think of the inner man and sin as dogs fighting each other. And the one you feed more is going to win that day. So ask yourself, which one am I feeding right now? When I'm watching this, when I'm listening to this, when I'm Facebooking this, when I'm tweeting that, when I'm reading this. Who are you feeding more? Because this is a very real struggle, beloved. As followers of Christ, we're not free from the sin that dwells in us. One day we will be, but we're not there yet. So be honest and fight hard. Because God and God alone can free us and rescue us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. I got a little excited there, Lord. I didn't didn't pound on the podium, but nothing good dwells in me. That message hasn't been heard in decades. In decades. Sin would have us believe that we are good because we're Christians. Oh, that's in the inner man, and that's true. But it's not because we're good. It's because God is good. And we can concur with the law that it's good, that you are good, and that while we live in this flesh, there is a battle that wages. With our mind and in our man, we want to serve the law of God. But Lord, help us so much to see our need when sin is active in the members of our body, so that we would fight hard and do battle daily to the praise and honor and glory of your grace in Christ Jesus. We pray these things. Amen. We will conclude.